Radio Prague News.
Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has denied reports that he supported Muammar al-Gaddafi's regime in Libya. The Czech and Polish presidents have agreed that their countries enjoy excellent relations. And Czech GDP growth will slow down to 1.75% this year, according to an estimate by the International Monetary Fund. The Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg on Monday strictly denied reports that he supported Muammar al-Gaddafi's regime in Libya. The news website euobserver.com reported on Monday that the Czech Foreign Minister, along with his Italian counterpart Franco Frattini, were the only EU foreign ministers to support the Libyan dictator. The website quoted Mr. Schwarzenberg as saying that Muammar al-Gaddafi's fall would be a catastrophe. The Czech foreign minister said his remarks were misunderstood. He said that if Libyan leaders' fall led to the establishment of a sensible regime, it would be very beneficial. However, the EU should not interfere in Libya's internal affairs, Mr. Schwarzenberg added. Czech President Václav Klaus and his Polish counterpart Bronislaw Komorowski agreed on Monday that the relations between the two countries were excellent. Mr. Komorowski, who is on a two-day visit to the Czech Republic, said common interests within the EU, similar historical experiences and growing economic cooperation were the cornerstones of these relations. The Polish president is set to meet Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas on Tuesday before visiting the country's largest oil refinery in Litvinov, which is owned by a Polish firm. Czech GDP growth will this year slow down to 1.75%, according to an estimate by the International Monetary Fund. The head of the fund's Czech mission, Zuzana Murgašová, told reporters on Monday. In 2010, the country's GDP grew by 2.3%. Ms. Murgašová said the government's austerity measures would cause lower GDP growth in 2011, but were essential in reaching fiscal sustainability. The deficit of the state budget should reach some 4% of the GDP this year, according to the estimate. Some 60% of Czechs would like to elect their president directly, according to a new poll by the CVVM agency released on Monday. Some 17% of those polled said they wanted the president elected in the current way, that is, by a joint session of both chambers of parliament. Another 13% said the Czech president should be elected by a wider body of electors. The number of supporters of direct presidential election dropped by 7% over the last 2 years, the agency said. Most Czech political parties would like to introduce a popular presidential vote so that the next Czech head of state, which will take office in February 2013, is elected directly. 4 Czech and Slovak foodstuffs have been granted EU protection as regional specialties, the European Commission announced on Monday. These include 2 local brands of salami and 2 kinds of sausages. These products were added to the EU list of traditional specialties guaranteed. The European Commission said the protection would not prevent other producers from using the name of the meat products, even if they do not follow the specifications approved. However, producers using a different recipe would not be allowed to use the label. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The start of the week will be overcast with some clear spots and occasional snow. Highest day temperatures should range between minus 5 and minus 1 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
Thank you for joining us. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, the Czech government has agreed 90% of its ambitious pension reform plan. We'll have details on who's for and who's against. And we'll have the latest in sport. Then a little later in our weekly interview program, Chris Johnstone talks to Egyptologist Miroslav Barta about excavations in Egypt over the last 20 years or so, as well as how the situation has changed regarding recent upheaval, and he discusses what comes next.
Now we are waiting for a sign from our Egyptian authorities, because we are only guests in the country.
That's all ahead. The Czech government has agreed the main lines of one of its most ambitious reforms, that of the creaking pension system. But the formula advanced seems to have won few friends. Trade union leaders say it goes too far, and some leading economists say it doesn't go far enough. Chris Johnstone reports.
Důchodová reforma je klíčovým úkolem této vlády a já jsem rád, že
Prime Minister Petr Nečas there last week congratulating his fellow ministers after they thrashed out the main lines of pension reform. As the Prime Minister remarked, this is one of the coalition government's hallmark reforms. Success will tick a big box in its favour, and failure put a big black mark against it. The Prime Minister said agreement had been found on 90-95% of the reform. The most significant step is the creation of a private pillar of pension fund provision aimed at relieving some of the pressure from the state system. Young people will be able to opt into that system, challenging 3 percentage points of their social insurance payments into it, as long as they top up with another 2 percentage points from their own money. Older people can also opt in to private funds, but for many it is reckoned that staying with the state system will be more tempting. To fill an expected hole in state pension provision due to the reform, value-added taxes is to be raised to a uniform 20% on all but a few essential items, leading to an expected surge in inflation. But even before the final elements of the reform are in place, ranks have divided over its merits. Josef Stredula is the leader of one of the country's biggest unions, the metal bashers Kovo. He says that many of the current problems in the state pension system have been caused by the government's failure to make employers, the rich and self-employed, shoulder their fair share of the burden.
We think that Czech solidarity pension system still functions. Czech politicians, it means liberals, change this system and make in the system minus a lot of money during changes of the percentage payment from the employer side. It was a very tragic step from Czech government side, and we have the result now. This result is minus 30 billion Czech crown budget of pension found during 2010 year, and we fully agree with changes, but these changes must go to the rich people.
He says the current state system should be strengthened and not weakened by encouraging some people to opt out of it. If people want to take out private pensions, then they still can, but not at the expense of those left in the state system. The main opposition, the Social Democrats, share many of those misgivings and have not backed the government reforms, casting a shadow over their permanency. On the other side of the fence, some economists have branded the changes as too timid, pointing out that the size of the contributions to the spun-off private funds do not really rebalance the system. Worse, the state system could be left covering the weakest members of society and drawing on their relatively weaker contributions. One of the biggest uncertainties over the reform is how many Czechs will take up the incentive to shift some of their pension cover into private funds. The Minister of Labour and Social Affairs estimates 50-60% will do so, but the most accurate assessment seems that nobody really seems to know.
Chris Johnstone reporting there on the situation regarding the government's planned pension reform. And now we turn to all the news in sport. We begin first with speed skating. Czech speed skater Martina Sablíková at the weekend set a new world record in the women's 5,000 meters, breaking her own previous record from 2007. She broke the previous world record by nearly 3 seconds with a time of 6 minutes, 42 seconds, and 66 hundredths of a second. The two-time gold medal winner at the Vancouver Winter Olympics made it clear before the race at the Salt Lake City circuit in the U.S. that she intended to set a new record, but said later that she could not believe the initial times given to her by her trainer. The 5,000 meters is the longest distance in women's speed skating. The previous record had also been set at Salt Lake City. Downhill skier Sharka Zahrobska failed on Saturday to win a medal at the Alpine World Cup Skiing Championship at Garmisch-Partenkirchen, Germany, finishing in 12th spot. The result was especially disappointing given the skier had clinched medals at previous championships 3 times running. She won a silver medal at the event in Val d'Isère in 2009. On Saturday, Austrian Marlies Schild took the gold. Zahrobska was already 15th after the first round with an almost 3-second gap to make up. She improved during her second run, but was still unable to make up the gulf. The latest event equals a poor start to the season for the Czech skier. Turning to ice hockey, teams in the top hockey league in the Czech Republic are readying for the playoffs after the final 52nd round was played at the weekend. In the regular Extraliga season, Třinec finished in top spot with 92 points and were awarded the President's Trophy, but neither team captain Radek Bonk nor any of the other players touched it out of superstition ahead of the knockout rounds. In the playoffs, Vítkovice will face České Budějovice, Zlín will take on Pardubice. The two top clubs, Třinec and Liberec White Tigers, still have to wait for the two best teams in the final playoff qualifier, Slavia versus Karlovy Vary and Litvinov versus Plzeň. In the NHL, the New Jersey Devils' Patrik Aliáš has reached a milestone 800 points over the course of his career, 328 goals, 472 assists, the highest number by any Czech player still active in the league. He racked up the points over 15 seasons, bested only by Czech great Jaromír Jágr, who has 646 goals and 953 assists in the NHL. Now, of course, he plays for Omsk in the KHL league. Besides Eliáš, there are two other active NHL players in the Czech top 10. Milan Hajduk has 746 points, and Václav Prospal has 660. Turning to football, midfielder Roman Skatsel is enjoying excellent form in the Scottish Football League, where he plays for Edinburgh. On Saturday, he scored his ninth goal in the season for Hearts, turning around a match against Dundee United, tying up the game at one apiece. Hearts went on to score another one and to win the game, and the team has now not lost eight games in a row in front of home fans. Hearts are now in third spot in the league, within striking distance of Rangers and Celtic. And finally, Czech goalkeeper Petr Čech was unable to save English club Chelsea from going out of the FA Cup in the club's fourth round reply at home to Everton at the weekend. The goalie was powerless when Everton clawed their way back to force a penalty shootout when Leighton Baines fired a free kick in the dying minutes of extra time. In the penalties, an early save by Čech on the spot kick by Baines again put Chelsea ahead, but Everton came back to take the shootout 4-3. The loss was especially disappointing as Chelsea had wanted to become the first club in 125 years to win the FA Cup three times in a row. Okay, and as always, don't forget you can look us up on the internet. Our address is radio.cz, where you can find out more news and stories from Czech culture to politics. And now we turn to today's main feature, which is One-on-One with Chris Johnstone, and his guest is Egyptologist Miroslav Barta.
Egyptologist Miroslav Barta has been involved in excavations in and around Egypt for the last 20 years. In this week's One-on-One, the professor describes new theories about the collapse of the Old Kingdom pharaohs and the fate of ongoing work in Egypt following the recent disturbances. But first of all, I asked him when he had begun to be interested in Egyptology.
Well, my interest basically started in the grammar school when I was, say, 15 or 16, when I got more interested in ancient Egyptian administration, development of the early state, etc. The logical continuation of this interest was studying at Charles University, where I started in 1988, and graduated in 1993 in archaeology, prehistory, and Egyptology. My field involvement in Egypt started in 1991, when I took part in my first expedition to Egypt as a student. And then, step by step, I started to be more and more involved in our field research in Egypt, later on also in Sudan and Western Desert of Egypt, and now I stay where I am.
And you've recently been in Egypt at the usual Czech site out there. What were the most recent experiences there, and what were the excavations there looking at?
Our excavation started more than 50 years ago, and our principal site in Egypt is Abusir, a site located some 25 kilometers south of modern Cairo next to Saqqara. There are two principal historical periods represented in archaeological record. Above all, it is a 5th dynasty royal monuments of some old kingdom kings, starting with Sahura and continuing with Neferikara Nusra and Ra Neferef. So these are the four principal kings of the pyramid builders era that built the site of Abu Sir. And in the shadow of these monuments came into being non-royal tombs. And the second principal era that we can find in Abu Sir is the late period, which is basically monuments, which is represented by the monuments from the first millennium before Christ.
Could you say what do you think the main finds or main finds have been, that you've made over the last 20 years or so? What do you consider to be the main finds?
No, I won't, because we are we are more interested in history and in processes, in those historical processes that we can unveil through our archaeological work in the field. Nevertheless, for general audience, I might refer to the pyramid complex of Ra Neferef. It was one of the last old kingdom kings that was discovered only in the 80s of the last century, and it provided a vast array of archaeological finds, including papyri describing everyday royal cult in the temple, stone vessels, royal statuary, etc., etc.
Well, perhaps I should rephrase the earlier question and say, what new light on Egyptian society do you think you've been able to throw in the last 20 years or so?
We basically develop a new theory on the decline of the old kingdom, because contrary to prevailing opinion that says basically that the old kingdom collapsed due to historical events at the very end of this historical period, we are saying that the changes leading to the end or to the collapse of the old kingdom and the final dismissal of the old kingdom period started maybe 150, 200 years before the actual collapse of the old kingdom, which is the period of Abu Sir kings in the 5th dynasty, which we can match quite neatly also with major climate change that we have in our record.
So what was the problem? Basically, the crops failed systematically? Was it as simple as that? Or
No, it was quite a complicated issue, and it's nobody can come up with a straightforward solution to this huge issue. Basically, there are five or six principal factors that are quite modern. It's the growing, incredibly administration. We know it even today from our ministries, that are flooded with officials that do almost nothing. There was a crisis of legitimacy, which is that the center wasn't able to exercise power in more distant regions of the country, which is also quite typical for modern states. There was a crisis of participation, that more remote parts of the country were becoming increasingly independent on the central administration. There were huge expenditures that were used in non-productive fields. A classical example is thousands of funerary priests working in mortuary temples of the old kingdom kings that had to be sustained in some way in order to support the royal dogma of the immortal king on the throne. And in the final stage of this long development came also the climate change into play that sped up all these critical factors that led to the final demise of the old kingdom.
I mean, it sounds like the whole system became top-heavy, partly top-heavy.
It's a problem of any complex society with structured economy, administration.
And your most recent trip to Egypt was when, and when do you think you might be going back, given the recent problems?
That's a difficult question. My last trip was 2010 fall archaeological season in Abusir, where I basically took over the expedition from Professor Werner, who was in charge for almost 30 years or so, I think. Just today I had a phone call with some Egyptian authorities, and the problem seems to be to take much more time than we originally supposed. At the moment it seems that we are not able to enter the archaeological site of Abusir, which is protected by the military, until the situation, especially the political situation in Egypt, calms down, which is difficult to predict when.
There was some damage done to the site during the early days of the demonstrations.
Apparently so. Here we depend heavily on local sources from Egypt that say that some damages have been inflicted on the monuments in Lisht, Dahshur, Abusir, Saqqara, but the extent of damages must be established, and due to the fact that the sites are sealed, we are unable to come up with any preliminary assessment.
So in theory you should be getting back to the site. How soon?
I have no idea.
But the plan was to go again this year, quite soon, yes?
We have basically two missions every year, in the spring and in the fall. And our spring 2011 mission was planned to begin about 2 weeks ago, which didn't happen, apparently. And now we are waiting for a sign from our Egyptian authorities, because we are only guests in the country, and we must get authorization for our future work, so we depend heavily on the political situation in the country.
Do you have any personal views about what's been happening in Egypt and whether things will turn out better or worse?
I'm just a distant observer. Of course, I'm quite concerned about the country, about the people, and last but not least about the future of the monuments. And at the moment, we all know that it's very difficult to predict, because the military took over the administration of the country. The parliament was closed down, so it's, for me, it's really difficult to see what will happen next. Of course, it's basically a very positive development for all Egyptian people, and I wish them only the best, and it's the destiny of the country is in their hands. They will decide what they want to do in the future, including the foreign missions.
Professor Miroslav Barta there on Czech Egyptology in Egypt and discussing the situation there in the future. And we turn to our final portion of today's program, which is our latest edition of Sound Czech, a program in which you can learn Czech idioms through song lyrics. And this week we hear from Pavla Horáková.
Arizona, Arizona, to je pravých mužů zóna.
You're listening to Sound Czech, Radio Prague's own Czech language series in which you can learn useful phrases through song lyrics. Today we'll hear a song from the 1964 Czech film comedy Limonádový Joe. The song is called Arizona, and the phrase we are listening out for today is jako ryba ve vodě.
Cítím se v té pohodě, jako ryba ve vodě.
The plot of the comedy is set in Arizona, where a young girl and her frail father are trying to convince all the tough men to stop drinking alcohol and convert them to soft drinks. The young girl is singing about Arizona, the land of real men where playing cards rustle, bullets whiz, and cows moo. She says that she feels in this atmosphere like a fish in water. Cítím se jako ryba ve vodě. Simply, she's in her element.
Cítím se v té pohodě, jako ryba ve vodě.
The beautiful but naive girl goes on singing that Arizonian men are kind to women, gentlemen don't hesitate to punch thugs to teach them good manners, and in the name of progress they shoot straight from the hip. Now, she means the phrase literally, but it actually works as an idiom in Czech too. Střílet rovnou od boku, or just střílet od boku, means to do something without preparation, on impulse. Have another listen.
Ve znamení pokroku střílí rovnou od boku.
Today we have learned two useful phrases. Cítit se jako ryba ve vodě, literally to feel like a fish in water, and střílet od boku, to shoot from the hip. I leave you with the song Arizona from the now cult Czech movie Limonádový Joe.
Cítím se v té pohodě, jako ryba ve vodě. Arizonských mužů plémě, k ženám chová se tak jemně, džen. Mení ranou pěstí, hru pijánu mraví pěstí. Ve znamení pokroku střílí rovnou od boku.
Soundcheck with Pavla Horáková brings us to the end of today's show. If you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's program, do drop us a line here at Radio Prague. The address to write to is english@radio.cz. And some of your comments or questions might even make it onto the air in our weekly mailbox program. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at the station. Thanks for joining us this day.